Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. This sentence clinches Paul's argument. He says, with the Holy Spirit in our hearts crying, Abba, Father, there can be no doubt that God has adopted us for his children and that our subjection to the law has come to an end. We are now the free children of God. We may now say to the law, Mr. Law, you have lost your throne to Christ. I am free now and a son of God. You cannot curse me anymore. Do not permit the law to lie in your conscience. Your conscience belongs to Christ. Let Christ be in it and not the law. As the children of God, we are the heirs of his eternal heaven. What a wonderful gift heaven is, man's heart cannot conceive, much less describe. Until we enter upon our heavenly inheritance, we are only to have our little faith to go by. To man's reason, our faith looks rather forlorn. But because our faith rests on the promise of the infinite God, his promises are also infinite, so much so that nothing can accuse or condemn us. Verse 7, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. A son is an heir, not by virtue of high accomplishments, but by virtue of his birth. He is a mere recipient. His birth makes him an heir, not his labors. In exactly the same way, we obtain the eternal gifts of righteousness, resurrection, and everlasting life. We obtain them not as agents, but as beneficiaries. We are the children and heirs of God through faith in Christ. We have Christ to thank for everything. We are not the heirs of some rich and mighty man, but heirs of God, the Almighty Creator of all things. If a person could fully appreciate what it means to be a son and heir of God, he would rate the might and wealth of nations small change in comparison with his heavenly inheritance. What is the world to him who has heaven? No wonder Paul greatly desired to depart and to be with Christ. Nothing could be more welcome to us than early death, knowing that it would spell the end of all our miseries and the beginning of all our happiness. Yes, if a person could perfectly believe this, he would not long remain alive. The anticipation of his joy would kill him. But the law of the members strives against the law of the mind and makes perfect joy and faith impossible. We need the continued help and comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need his prayers. Paul himself cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body of this death spoiled the joy of his spirit. He did not always entertain the sweet and glad expectation of his heavenly inheritance. He often felt miserable. This goes to show how hard it is to believe. Faith is feeble because the flesh wars against the spirit. If we could have perfect faith, our loathing for this life in the world would be complete. We would not be so careful about this life. We would not be so attached to the world and the things of the world. We would not feel so good when we have them. We would not feel so bad when we lose them. We would be far more humble and patient and kind. But our faith is weak because our spirit is weak. In this life, we can have only the first fruits of the Spirit, as Paul says. Verse 7, through Christ. The apostle always has Christ on the tip of his tongue. He foresaw that nothing would be less known in the world someday than the gospel of Christ. Therefore, he talks of Christ continually. As often as he speaks of righteousness, grace, the promise, the adoption, and the inheritance of heaven, he adds the words, in Christ, or through Christ, to show that these blessings are not to be had by the law, or the deeds of the law, much less by our own exertions, or by the observance of human traditions, but only by and through and in Christ.